Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. The great cry of the Apostle Paul was that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, and to be made conformable to Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, to being made conformable unto His death. Notice Paul's great desire was what Jesus prayed to the Father, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. John chapter 17, verse 3, and Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. We hardly ever today in the professing church hear a message that speaks of knowing Christ, this great Savior we pretend has saved us. I have great doubts about that. The modern church is too busy to study Christ Himself because they're too busy trying to use Him to get something from Him or get what they want. Let that soak in for a moment. As you remember how long it's been since you've heard a message specifically about heaven's Messiah and King, most modern pastors probably don't even know what the word or the term Christology means. Christology is the study of Christ. Notice today in the modern church, we give people things to help them temporarily cope. It's really not working even temporarily. Instead of giving them Christ Himself, we give them band-aids instead of blessings. Most messages you hear today are what I call band-aid theology, and they deal with symptoms or surface issues, and they never get to the root of the matter. In the divine economy, the root determines the fruit. Romans chapter 11, verse 16. We got to beware, Saints, of the coping cons, if you will. There's so many coping cons. Jesus said concerning the last days that many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. We're living in that day. Most of us don't really realize that. Whenever the scripture speaks of many false prophets, notice the absence in the whole Bible of any terminology such as many true prophets. So, by biblical truth and deduction, we know that most people in ministry are absolutely false, and they have invaded long time ago, even before we were born, and ever since they have invaded the pulpits of the modern church world. And I would say that's probably at about a 99 percentile would be my guess. I mean, it's really hard to find a fellowship based in a building that is anything but a circus, a church business. Friend of mine and I, Brother Allen, were reviewing scripture in the Old Testament and the New, especially in Isaiah, where this morning over a long fellowship and breakfast, and we discussed how Isaiah 9:16 speaks of the leaders. Notice the leaders. Who? The leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Isn't that what Jesus said when He quoted from the Old Testament, when He said, "Ye be blind leaders of the blind, and both of you will fall into the ditch"? The epidemic of false leaders can never be underscored. In fact, we talked about the volumes of Scripture dedicated to exposing Christ's enemies. These are false leaders who are leading people into the ditch of eternal destruction. And God has a lot to say about that in His Word, but we never hear that message today. Why? Because the false leaders aren't going to preach that message because it would expose who they are and that they are the subject of all of these warnings. 1 John 4:1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test or try the spirits to see whether they are of God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Memorize it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, exposing false teachers and false doctrines is the mandate of the Lord. He commands us to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Jude verse 3. Notice Isaiah 56 verse 10 through 12. The prophet, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes this: His watchmen, speaking of Israel's watchmen, are blind. They are all ignorant. Have you ever seen so many biblically illiterate people in leadership? It's almost laughable if it wasn't absolutely pitiful. His watchmen are blind. I mean, there's so many ways we could sit here that prove their blindness. One of them that I always point out is that these absolute frauds are still reading from and perpetrating Satan's fake Bibles. Scarcely do you see a man preaching from the King James Bible. And by the way, that's not a preference. It's a conviction based on simple comparison. I mean, I had a guy, a pastor of a local church, come at me. He started it, right? He didn't believe the King James Bible. I said, well, I just need you to answer me one question. I mean, he started it, so I figured I would finish it real good, and that's what happened. I said, can you explain to me why you're defending a fake Bible or fake Bibles where the blood of Jesus Christ is removed from Colossians 1:14 in those quote-unquote Bibles? He wanted to talk around that, and so I held his feet to the fire on that one verse, Colossians 1:14, and finally he said, well, threw his hands up, said, I didn't know that. I said, you're a pastor, and you didn't know that? And you're sitting here bringing on an argument about something you're completely ignorant about? What is wrong with you? Then he goes to walk away, and I said, what are you running from? You got something to hide? I mean, I was there to win the argument, if you had to be honest with you at that point, and to skunk him and hopefully embarrass him into true repentance and getting right with God. Somebody says, that's not a big issue. Well, tell God that. He said, if you remove from or add to His Word, your name is going to be removed from the book of life, and you're going to receive the plagues of the book of Revelation. That includes the lake of fire. You do not tamper with God's Word, and that's what all of these new versions have done deliberately. We've got a whole category on that on safeguardyoursoul.com. By the way, that references that the end of the whole Bible, Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. That is a huge issue. It could not be bigger. And anybody who denies that the Word of God and the purity of it, God ordained to be preserved, is absolutely in darkness. And that's what he's saying here. His watchmen are blind, man. These guys are pastors, and they will argue with you about this. But of course, as soon as you start showing him, like I did with this fella, things like Colossians 1:14 removes the blood of Christ, and Romans 8:1 is chopped in half in the fake Bibles. Example again, Matthew 17:21 is absolutely removed from these so-called Bibles that these guys are using, then the argument stops immediately. But I find that these guys, they go off into oblivion. They don't want to hear from me again. Hopefully they repent, but I find that I come back and find out that some of them still are using those fake Bibles. You got to be kidding me. There is no fear of God, as the Bible says, before their eyes. No fear of God. Zero. Do I doubt their salvation? Absolutely. Why? Because you shall know them by their fruit. His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. Notice he paints them all with a sweeping brush. His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. This is the state of the modern church world today. I mean, I know about a guy in Alabama who used to preach the gospel. Now he's got Jesse the devil, lying devil, Duplantis coming in there repeatedly. Unbelievable. And he's responsible for this. He's the gatekeeper. He's the false shepherd who's now bringing in this filthy, lying devil, Jesse Duplantis, to spew his lies. I mean, every time the guy opens his mouth, he's just making stuff up. And everything he says is subtly showing you how he's greater than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Almighty himself. Unbelievable. I could go on and on, and so could many of you guys with examples, but let's look at the word here. His watchmen are blind. This has never been more relevant than it is now. They are all ignorant. This is Isaiah 56, the end of it, verse 10 through 12. I want you to get to know this passage, beloved. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Why do you buy a dog? You put the dog outside or in the house. Why? If somebody's going to break in, that dog's going to know it way before you do. They can smell stuff from a long way off. They sense danger and they alert you to it, right? That's what true watchmen, godly overseers do. They warn you. God told Ezekiel, warn them from me. Paul said he preached, warned, and taught. PWT, Colossians 1:28. That's what godly men, they preach, they warn, and they teach. They preach, they warn, and they teach. PWT. If a man's not doing all three of those, he's not a true under-shepherd of the Lord. He is just another counterfeit, a wolf in sheep's clothing. Colossians 1:28. That's the apostolic model. That's what Jesus did. That's what Paul did, and that's what all his apostles did, and all his prophets. PWT, all summed up in Colossians 1:28, preach, warn, teach. If you love your children, and we all love our children, you tell them, do not go near that street where the cars are passing. Why? Because we love them. We're jealous over them. We protect them. We don't want them getting hit by a car. It's no different with a true man of God. He is going to love you enough to warn you to beware of false prophets. Those are Jesus' words. That's Jesus' warning. And it's going to be repeated by everyone who's a true disciple of Christ. Not because he or she is just trying to judge everybody or be self-righteous. No, because they love you. They want you protected. And Jesus is speaking through them because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. And he's still warning you to beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, see, they hide this evil within. Inwardly, they are ravening wolves, for you shall know them by their fruit. Matthew 7:15 through 20. How do you know them? Know means to discern. You know them by their fruit. And if they're not preaching the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith, they're false. They're preaching another gospel. Even if some of the stuff they're teaching is not false, or even if none of it's actually false, if they're not preaching the cardinal doctrine, the foundational doctrines of the Christian faith, they're false. They're preaching another gospel. They're giving another message. If they're not warning, preach, warn, teach, they're false. That's bad fruit. That's not consistent with what we see of Christ the Lord himself in his earthly life and ministry, and Paul and John the Apostle and Peter the Apostle, and all that we have, especially in the 27 book New Testament canon. And how are you, beloved, going to know if they're preaching the original gospel or another gospel if you don't know the original gospel? And by the way, start with studying the real Bible, the King James Bible. His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. See, they're not even barking. They're not warning anybody. If they were going to warn a false prophet, they would have to tell you to beware of them. Paul said this. He says, if anyone comes to you, Galatians 1:6-9, even myself, and they tell you anything different than what I have delivered to you, let them be accursed. Paul included himself. He warned them about himself. Listen, men change, beloved. Men change. Men backslide. I mean, how many people do you know who once had a fervent, diligent walk with Christ and were walking in sound biblical truth, and now today they no longer do such? You can look up four preachers. Just put in the number four and preachers on Safeguard Your Soul on the search box. And I did an audio message not long ago, a podcast about four men that I thought of that day when I recorded that, who no longer walk with Christ, and yet they once did. So Paul says, Galatians 1:6-9, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him, that's Christ, that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Another gospel is any gospel other than the original gospel, which is grounded in foundationally the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Verse 7, Galatians 1, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, me, Paul, he's saying, and by the way, I'm going to include me there for sure. Don't you dare believe me. You better believe the word of God and get your two eyes he gave you on his word. Take God's word for it, no man's. Let God be true and every man a liar, including Paul, including me, including you, your own self. Romans 3:4. Let God be true and every man a liar. Verse 8, Galatians 1. But though we are an angel from heaven, to say what? Yeah, not an angel from hell. Not one of the fallen angels. But even if angel from heaven preach any other gospel, if we preach another gospel, Paul says, this is the great apostle of Christ, or an angel from glory, from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. See, these guys that are perpetrating these false gospels, they aren't just nice little innocent guys who are misled. They are absolutely accursed. God did not send them. They sent themselves. And we're going to see that here in Isaiah 56. Verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. So in Isaiah 56:10-12, we see that those claiming to be and presiding in leadership in the body of Christ today are no different than those in Israel. They're blind. They're all ignorant. They're dumb dogs. They cannot bark. They don't have any conviction. They don't have any discernment. Why? They're walking in self-serving lust and self-idolatry. These are people who God is going to damn. Jesus said this, Luke 6:39, and he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is obvious. Somebody says, how do you know they're going to hell? Well, the Bible specifically says they're going, if anybody's going to hell, by the way, it's going to be the enemies of the cross of Christ. Philippians 3:18-19. Their end is destruction. They're going to hell. That's Philippians 3:18-19. Their God is their belly. They're serving themselves, not the Savior. 2 Peter 2, the whole chapter is about false teachers. And he says there right in the beginning that false teachers and false prophets shall have damnation. Jesus spoke of hell being damnation. Mark 3:9, they're going to hell. This is just a sampling. Also 2 John 10:11, if you support in any way a false teacher, if you bid Godspeed to them, you will be partaker of his evil deeds. You're going to hell with them. God says you're his enemy. Doesn't matter how well-meaning you claim to be, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. So the false watchmen in Isaiah's day in Israel and now are blind, ignorant, dumb dogs. They cannot bark. They can't even sound a warning. They're spiritually asleep. They have been for a long time, lying down, loving to slumber. They're not vigilant, seeking God, fasting and praying, studying the word of God like a rabid dog. No, they're too busy embellishing the flesh. Yea, they are greedy dogs. There it is. They're making merchandise of you, Peter says. 2 Peter 2, 1-3. Their God is their belly, the Apostle Paul. See the consistency of Scripture? God is telling on these animals, these wicked wolves. In living color, he's telling you who they are. He's giving us a resume right here in the end of Isaiah 56, as he does throughout Scripture. I mean, he runs these devils down. Philippians 3, 18 and 19, Paul says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often." Notice many, not a few. Notice Paul told them often. He warned them often. And so does every true under-shepherd that's truly of Christ. "And now tell you, even weeping." He's weeping about this. He's so concerned about it. Remember in Ephesus, Acts 20, 20 through 32, he cried with tears, literally cried for 3 years, day and night, knowing that there were coming false teachers, wolves from within, not from without, not the Mormons and the Catholics and the Jehovah's Witnesses, but the seminary graduates, the slick talking dudes that we see as pastors today. That's who he's talking about, and that's what the devil targets. Psalm 74, the devil, the enemy, has breathed his fire into the sanctuary, right into the heart, right into the midst of that which is supposed to be the worship of God. And that's why Jesus went into the temple and cleansed the temple at the beginning and the end of his ministry, as an eternal memorial of the zeal of God that the worship of his people is to be pure. They had made it a den of thieves. Den of thieves is again pointing to the self-serving and greedy hearts of so many who claim to be representing Christ, but they do not know him, and they are misleading millions. Their God is their belly. Notice what he says, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, Philippians 3, 18 and 19, whose end is destruction. There it is. They're going to hell. And so is everyone who follows them, whose God is their belly. In other words, their carnal appetites, which they're not crucified to because they don't take up the cross. That's why they don't preach the cross, which is the only way to serve God. It's his prescription. Whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. In other words, they glory in those things they should be ashamed of, and they mind earthly things. Finishing up in Isaiah 56, verse 11. This text is Isaiah 56, 10 through 12. I want you to go get familiar with it and share it with other believers. Amen. "Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough." Notice the insatiable nature of their lust and their greed. I mean, you got this guy, Jesse Duplantis, collecting money to get yet another plane. He's collected like $54 million, I don't know, a year or two ago. Somebody showed me. Unbelievable. $54 million. Also, he doesn't have to put up with people and fly next to the little people like you and me. Unbelievable. They can never have enough. Greedy dogs, which can never have enough. Notice greed is one of the most ugliest, wicked sins there is. It's just insatiable. Evil, thirst to lie, to deceive, to come up with new schemes to get more money out of the people. Unbelievable. "And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way." It's all about them. "Everyone for his gain," his own personal gain, "from his quarter. Come ye," say they, "I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink." See, they're intoxicated. "And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant." You see, they have this delusionment, which we could call the myth of continuity. But let's be sure of this, that there will be an end to what they're doing. Let's put it that way. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says, "Because they're not caught yet, they think in their deceived mind, their corrupted minds." Paul said these are men of corrupt minds. 1 Timothy 6:5. They think that they're never going to have to answer to God for this. They're self-deceived. Their hearts are darkened through the deceitfulness of sin, Hebrews 3. Ecclesiastes 8:11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set on them to do evil. They're emboldened to continue to do these evil things because they haven't yet been brought to accountability, but they will be. God sees all. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, and he's going to bring it all to perfect justice. It's kind of like these guys you see that rob banks, and then they get caught, and then you see them interviewed from prison, and they'll tell you themselves, they thought they were invincible, that they were going to never get caught. And every time they robbed the bank, it just created more of a thirst to go do it again. Just pure evil and iniquity working in them. So beware of the coping cons, folks. They're selling you on these band-aids. They're giving people band-aids. The once saved, always saved crowd is famous for this. They stand there and they talk to try to make their hearers be convinced that they're eternally secure, instead of telling them the only way you can have the assurance of salvation, according to 1 John, is to obey God. You are accountable to obey God. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. We could go on and on and on. That's the only way you're going to have peace in your heart. So many people say, I need peace. Well, that's true. It's not a bad thing to desire peace. But Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. He only gives it to those who obey him, folks. He's not going to give it to you just because you memorize a scripture or you say it over and over. Some phony little pastor puts a band-aid on you and does something short of telling you to lay down your life. Die to yourself. Be crucified with Christ. And that's when the fruit of the Spirit is going to be resident in you, when the resurrection power of the Holy Ghost is raising you up out of that dead and buried posture. And I would also add that Psalm 119:165 says, great peace have they that love thy law, thy word, and nothing shall offend them. Why? Because they diligently devour the word of God daily, and they obey God. The blessings of God are reserved only for those that obey him. But boy, we don't want to talk about that big O word anymore, do we? Obedience, repent, and obey God. I find myself telling people, look, you need to repent and follow Christ. By the way, if somebody wants to tell me that, say it. I'm going to thank you for it. You're right. 100%. Repent from wherever you are and follow Jesus. We also hear, I need to overcome sin. I mean, we got people that have been caught up in the same sins for decades, and they can't go anywhere except hopefully to you and I. They can go to their Bible too, by the way, best case scenario, and hear that you need to repent and live the crucified life. That's the only prescription Jesus gives for overcoming sin and for following him. You must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me daily. Do it daily, and you'll follow me daily. There's no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. When's the last time you, my friend, have been on a fast? Maybe an extended fast. Why not start with one day? By the way, you're going to get addicted once you start fasting and praying, spending time with the Lord. So as long as you won't obey God, Isaiah 58, then you're going to be stuck in that sin and you're in danger of hellfire because you're not obeying Jesus, who is holy, 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 and told you that you should be so severely set against sin that defiles you, that you're willing to cut off the hand and pluck out the eye of anything that offends him, any sin. Mark chapter 9, verse 43 through 50. By the way, that whole passage in most, if not all, of the new versions is butchered. So as usual, read the real Bible, trash the counterfeits that are the enemies of Christ, and get in the real word, the King James Bible. All cults, heretical systems, and false prophets have a common denominator. Here it is. Jesus Christ is not elevated as God, creator of all that is, and the only Savior, the Almighty, the supreme head of his one church, and worthy to be obeyed. Colossians chapter 1 and 2 is paramount to our walk with heaven's coming King. And by the way, we have a category which I want to highly recommend you go through. It's Christology. Christology. You're going to find messages, the whole book of Ephesians, Colossians. You're going to find a lot of Hebrew in there, book of Hebrews. You're going to learn Christ. Isn't it amazing how in the modern church world we claim to be worshiping Jesus Christ? I mean, we certainly don't claim to be worshiping Muhammad or any other false god and fraud, a false prophet. But yet we claim that we're saved by and worshiping Jesus, but we don't have time, because we don't really care, to go through the scriptures and study Christ himself. That's what we call Christology. That simply means the study of Christ. You see, beloved, if you will be planted deep into Christ, your Christology, your study of, your personal knowledge of Christ must be ever deepening, not shallow, but ever deepening. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 10 tells us just this, beloved, that verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. See, all of the blessings of God are in Christ. It's all in Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the blessings and promises of God are yea and amen in and only in Christ. So walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him. God wants you deeply rooted and built up in Christ and established in the faith. How does your foundation look, beloved? As ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware. Here's another warning. Can't get away from them unless you're trying to. Beware lest any man, spoil, that means to ruin you, through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments or the thinking of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, that's in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Colossians 2, 6 through 10. But again, the modern church is too busy to study Christ himself, because they're too busy trying to use him to get what they want. Let that soak in for a minute, as I said earlier, as you peruse your memory to see when the last time is that you heard a message about Christ himself. What a concept. Jesus Christ is the sacred substance, the topic of all of Scripture. He is the one presented in his word. He is the living word that is learned through the written word and the Holy Spirit. The world uses treatments. They have treatment centers. All of these so-called ministries have them too. Recovery and all of these fake worldly methods and systems they use to get insurance money and to never get to the root of the problem. They don't want to. They want to perpetuate you in your delusions when God wants to remedy them at the root, which is sin, and only Christ is the cure of sin. So these worldly ministries use treatments. They have treatment centers which don't treat man's core dilemma, which is sin. Only Christ can do that. He's the only one that's the cure. And if any man be in Christ, truly he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things are new. All things are of God. Only God can do that. And he does it through the exceeding great and precious promises of his word. All things that pertain unto life and godliness are found in those exceeding precious promises of the Word of God, of which Jesus Christ is enthroned and is the central subject of always. If we miss Christ in his Word, we've missed everything. Any person looking outside of God's Word for God's wisdom is seeking some other way and is wayward from the Lord. And that's why the psalmist said he hated every false way. Any way outside the Word of God is a false way. Psalm 119, 104, and 128. Notice Psalm 107, 20. God He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Yet today, we have wolves who offer any number of band-aids. Nothing has changed. There's no new thing under the sun, Ecclesiastes 1:9. If you want to see what false leaders are doing today, you must study what God says about them in His word and peer into what the Lord's prophets and holy apostles said about them, as we just read in Isaiah 56:10-12. Today's priesthood of wolves are no different than those in Jeremiah's day. Catch this. Jeremiah 6:14. They, he's talking about the false leaders, have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. In other words, they band-aided the problems, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Jeremiah 6:14. Amazing. That's what we have going on today. Same thing. And they never get to the root of the problem. Jesus came to heal the broken in heart, to bind up their wounds. Luke 4:18, Psalm 147:3. Paul prayed that we'd be made whole, spirit, soul, and body. And beloved, I'm going to tell you, that's not going to happen if you're sitting under false teachers. And I know people that have been doing that for decades, and they still ain't going to stop, which is utterly ridiculous. Right there, that little saying we have these days, how's that working for you? Guess what? It's not working for you. Stop it. I do believe, even though this isn't a scripture, but it's according to scripture, seems like to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that the definition of insanity is to continue to do the same thing and expect a different result. You're reaping what you sowed, man. You're sucking up to, supporting, and bidding Godspeed to the enemies of Christ. And therefore, you're the enemy of God, and spiritually, you're bankrupt and receiving diminishing returns, which until you repent and get rid of the idols of your heart, these mere men, and get God first in your life, you're going to get the same result. Today, we often hear a lot about the biblical doctrines of grace, faith, and mercy, and yet seldom hear the biblical doctrine such as the cross of Christ, the crucified life that God calls us to, repentance, abiding in Christ, enduring to the end to be saved, bringing forth good fruit, holiness, be ye holy for I am holiness, and being ready for Christ's return. The cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith are seldom heard in the modern church. A brother named Jason says this. He says, 90% of what passes as Christian these days is just a mix of tickling ears and political correctness. No one can take being offended, and that's the beginning of the gospel. It coincides with the fear of the Lord. Fearing Him offends the self in us and forces us into repentance and the crucified life. Now that brother gets it. And speaking of getting it, do we get it? The wolf is known in that he entertains goats and doesn't feed sheep by telling them the pure truth of God's word. There's the counterfeit church attender who's just wading through life, wading, W-A-D-I-N-G, attempting to just coast. No. Can't be. Jesus said if you're lukewarm, He's going to spew you out of His mouth. Revelation 3:15-16. But these false teachers make their living off these guys. These people are goats. They might have been saved in the past, but they're goats now. And that's what these false teachers do. They entertain goats. They don't feed sheep. Then there's the few who truly repented and are laying down their lives daily, walking in an abiding fellowship with Jesus, and are fruitful in relationship with Him and doing gospel ministry, John 14:15. Today's pastors love and use the counterfeits by simply crafting their half-truth messages to coddle the tares, or the counterfeits, in their self-serving, sinful, self-idolatrous lifestyle, and the lake of fire awaits. When someone speaks biblical truth, they are offended, as scripture foretold, and they do not endure endure sound doctrine. Endure meaning they do not hold themselves accountable to sound doctrine. They don't obey it. 2 Timothy 4:2-4. Amos 5:10 is applicable here. It says this, they hate, the counterfeits hate him that rebuketh in the gate. They hate the true messengers of the Lord, who are very few, by the way, if you haven't noticed. And they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. Why? Because they're unrepentant. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds, their own deeds, are evil. The Apostle Paul asked this rhetorical question to the Galatians, whom he was rebuking, who had allowed themselves to be brought under false doctrine. Paul says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Wow. The declaring of biblical truth in a bold, non-apologetic fashion only sounds rude to those who are cold, dead, backslidden, unrepentant, and lukewarm. They have fallen away. They have died spiritually due to not being in God's word daily for themselves. They are not right with God, but rather in darkness and in utter need of truly repenting before it's too late. Again, John, Jesus said 3:19-21 that their deeds are evil because they love darkness rather than light. And the reason why they do that is because their own deeds are evil. John 3:19-21, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Amen. The truth seeker, the true man or woman before God will come to the light so that their deeds, their own evil, can be brought to the surface, repented of, and they can be washed from it and established in the truth. 1 Corinthians 13:6, the true love, when it's in us, love for God and the love of God, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is, the gates of hell will not prevail against the attack on the true body of Christ, whom Jesus is working in and through. Think about it. Gates simply sit idle. And so obviously the frontal attack of Christ's servants is obvious here in Jesus' words, as they preach the light of divine truth, which is piercing the darkness in hell's kingdom and in the hearts of men who are in darkness. Amen. In fact, Jesus, actually John the Baptist, said this in Matthew 11:12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Read and heed the context of Scripture, beloved, the Bible stories, etc., which is in doing the gospel, preaching, ministering, and never just attending church, coping with self-serving issues that are surface level, in lukewarmness, warming a pew, in a self-serving consumerism lifestyle of a mere form of godliness, where they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3. Read the book of Acts, beloved. Read the book of Acts and see what real Christianity is about in the Gospels and every word of the New Testament. Sin is the issue and not some mental disorder. Many apply mere band-aids. People only have mental instability, etc., or illness, as they call it, due to the root of their own sin. Jesus alone can get to the root and deliver, redeem, and forgive all sin, but only when there's repentance. That's what we read in Acts 3:19. When there is true repentance, there's going to be the fruit of a changed life, and a life that's full of the love, the joy, the peace of God. Listening to those who try to apply band-aids to your sin issue instead of telling you to repent, lay down your life, be crucified with Christ, go on a fast, spend time in the Word every day and in prayer, seeking the face of God. They're lying to you, just like the false prophets of old. All right, let's finish here, friends. There's so much more we could say and talk about, but I think you're getting the picture here. We need to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Judgment Day is on the way, and it's going to be too late for so many. So I want to encourage you to get before God today and to pray afresh to the Lord, laying down your life, praying with everything that is within you to the Lord. He's going to wash you clean as you repent. You return to him in sincerity of heart. Notice Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore. Notice the word repent, rarely ever heard in the modern church, because quite frankly, I believe it's been removed from most of the modern Bibles or much of it. Go compare how many times you see the word repent and repentance in the King James Bible compared to these fake Bibles. Amazing. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. See, sins are blotted out when we repent and not before. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Notice what follows true repentance. Times of refreshing. That's going to bring love. It's going to bring God's joy, God's peace. All of the blessings of God are going to come when you do things God's way and no other way. Amen. We had an email come in this week. Guy sounds like he's from Italy. Sounds like he's Italian. Luigi is his first name. And he said he made peace with God. He's referring, obviously, to the page on safeguardyoursoul.com called Making Peace or Peace with God. It's always at the top left on the desktop version. Peace with God. I want to encourage you to go there if you're not truly born again and read through it and pray the prayer at the end with everything that's in you, giving your whole life to Christ in total surrender, confessing Jesus who died and was raised again from the dead for your sins as the Lord, the master of your life. We also have another page called Fresh Start. Maybe you've been saved in the past and find yourself away from God today. Go there. It's perfect instructions for you to be back on track with Christ. So Luigi writes this week, I woke up to a glorious email where he's saying that he made peace with God, which apparently means he went through that page, which is like a track. It shows how sinful we are by showing us the law of God, the Ten Commandments, and how we've broken them, and then preaches Christ and as a prayer that people can pray. And it's not the prayer that's going to save anybody. It's repentance and receiving Christ by faith that saves. So we're just giving you a track to run on to get right with God, if you will, biblically. So anyway, that's always a blessing. Please lift up Luigi in your prayers this week. God bless you, saints. Thank you for listening. And please don't any longer settle for a cheap substitute. Jesus is the real thing, and we are complete in him. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.